This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Belinda from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Thursday, the 30th of July, and the time is 6 a.m. in New York. Global equities are mixed following a weaker U.S. session. At the latest close, the S&P 500 fell 1.5% and the Nasdaq lost 2.1%. The Stoxx Europe 600 edged up 20 basis points while Switzerland's SMI was flat on the day. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 gained 0.7%, while the Shanghai Composite fell 0.6% respectively. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.144 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.82 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4.69% after rising 1 basis point. Brent crude gained 1.8% to $92 a barrel, and gold added 0.3% to $4,048 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Belinda. So what's the latest from Microsoft and Meta's quarterly results?
Hi, Aaron. That's a good place to start. Well, Microsoft's shares rose nearly 9% in after-hours trading on Wednesday as its cloud unit grew at the fastest pace in 4 years. The company also projected further acceleration for the current quarter. Meta, meanwhile, fell 7.5% after reporting a 91% plunge in second quarter free cash flow to its lowest level since late 2022.
So what does that divergence tell us about how investors are assessing the AI story?
Well, without taking any single company view, the divergence in share price performance underscores investors' continued focus on the monetization of AI investments. Alphabet's shares fell last week after the company reported its first ever quarter of negative free cash flow, while raising its estimate for 2026 capital spending.
And ahead of Amazon's earnings later today, what are your main takeaways on near-term AI spending and monetization?
So near-term AI capital expenditure remains strong, and monetization is becoming more visible. Following Alphabet's higher guidance, Meta raised the lower end of its spending outlook and now projects 2026 spending of between $130 billion and $145 billion US dollars. Microsoft said its investment expectations for this year remain unchanged, although an accounting adjustment means some capital expenditure will shift to operating costs. With both Alphabet and Microsoft signaling further capital expenditure increases for 2027, we expect near-term AI spending overall to remain strong. Microsoft also indicated further acceleration in cloud revenue growth for the current quarter, while Alphabet reported an increase in advanced cloud orders that have yet to be recorded as revenue. In our view, this adds to the encouraging monetization trends.
Okay. And what are the main risks to that spending outlook beyond 2027?
Pressure on free cash flow could constrain AI spending beyond 2027. While capital expenditure is likely to rise further next year and monetization is picking up, the latest results show that hyperscalers' heavy spending is increasingly weighing on their cash flows. We estimate that their operating cash flows will be overtaken by cash capital expenditure requirements in the current quarter. That raises the risk of AI spending in 2028 falling below the 2027 level. A potential slowdown in capital expenditure could lead to weaker semiconductor prices, weighing on parts of the sector where strong pricing power has driven most of the recent rally.
So where does that leave the AI investment opportunity?
Well, in short, the opportunity has become more differentiated. Given the near-term strength and the risks on the horizon, simply owning companies linked to AI infrastructure spending is unlikely to benefit from the next phase of AI growth. We believe investors should be more selective in their semiconductor exposure because the industry consists of diverse segments with their own cycles and dynamic. The broader semiconductor and hardware complex now offers a more balanced risk-reward profile following the strong rally in the second quarter of this year. In our view, investors should retain exposure across the entire AI value chain. We recommend a barbell positioning that complements semiconductor holdings with more defensive areas of technology. Within semiconductors, we favor semi-cap equipment, foundries, and compute names. We also see opportunities in smartphone makers, payment networks, data center REITs, and select consumer electronics.
And what's your broader conclusion for investors?
Absolutely. We remain constructive on the AI growth story, but we believe investors should manage concentration risk by broadening their exposure to defensive technology stocks. We also continue to recommend a broadly diversified equity allocation spanning sectors and geographies.
Great. Thanks, Belinda. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. The Federal Reserve voted by 9-3 on Wednesday to keep the target range for the federal funds rate steady at 3.5-3.75%. The three dissenting officials favored a 25 basis point hike and had previously signaled a more hawkish bias. The Federal Open Market Committee statement was brief and did not shift its language in a more hawkish direction. Chair Kevin Warsh's comments at the press conference also did not suggest that the Fed is in a rush to raise rates. He instead referred to a period of watchful thinking. Markets interpreted the statement and his comments dovishly, with the amount of tightening priced in by December falling by 13 basis points. Our view is that policy rates were expected to remain unchanged. We expect further goods disinflation as tariff effects fade, setting up more disinflation in core PCE during the second half of the year. While Warsh downplayed the nascent improvement in inflation trends, he highlighted that recent large increases in real and nominal yields have tightened financial conditions. That could allow the Fed to remain on hold for longer while it monitors inflation progress. Warsh also said strong growth in AI-linked capital expenditure would support the supply side of the economy, reducing the need for the Fed to tighten policy. Markets are still pricing a more hawkish rate path in 2026 than our view. We therefore continue to think current yields offer an opportunity to lock in attractive portfolio income, particularly in short and medium maturity quality bonds. Looking ahead to the 31st of July, investors will be watching the Bank of Japan's interest rate decision, China's July Purchasing Managers' Indices, the Eurozone's flash inflation reading for July, and the U.S. Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey for July. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/cio-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.